More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Hour two of Clay and Buck gets going right now, everybody. Thank you very much for being here. And the positions of various GOP contenders on Ukraine is something that got a bit of attention last night. Tucker Carlson reached out his show and reached out to contenders for the GOP nomination. Because we now have a full-scale war going on in Europe between two advanced industrialized economies, and one of them has a whole lot of nukes and a whole lot of energy reserves, and this is a big deal. It's also in the backdrop of all the things we're seeing economically play out right now, too. You can't just leave all this stuff on the side. This is factoring into the sense of public unease right now. And I'll tell you this. Does it feel like things are good right now in the country? Honestly, economically, does it feel like things are good on the world stage? Biden is soon to be out there telling everybody he is running for re-election and what a great economy it is. I mean, he's going to make these claims. The media is going to back him up, and I'm just here to tell you they're lying to you. They're lying to you. You know that. But get ready for it, because it should annoy you. It should be something that you find very frustrating. There should be a part of you that feels like, wow, they are brazen. Because what's their alternative? To admit that Biden is an imbecile? To agree with Republicans that many of the things, whether it's the reduction in pursuing fossil fuels that has happened because of the Biden administration, the decisions that have been made across the board when it comes to regulation, taxation, that all these things make us poorer, more depressed, less free as a nation, less prosperous. No, they're never going to admit any of that. But Biden's got his hands full right now, because there's only so much the media can do to make things seem better than they are. And on the issue of Ukraine and Russia, I do think that the GOP is going to have a bit of a fight on its hands here internally. Democrats are, they're the party of, if there's a war that we can fund or fight in that doesn't actually benefit America, Democrats are all in. Democrats and Lindsey Graham, sign them up. I mean, not to fight, but sign them up to send your children and your money to that conflict. Republicans at least tend to be more likely to. There's a lot of provisos, a lot of caveats in this, because I just mentioned Lindsey Graham, but there are others as well. But there are at least conservatives within the GOP tent who, if there's going to be a war, it's to protect us and protect our interests. Maybe they're wrong about those interests, or maybe they're miscalculating, but at least that's their purpose. So what are we doing in Ukraine right now? And what are the various candidates, on the Republican side, think about it. I thought it was very interesting that you had Ron DeSantis, who is not yet running for president, and everyone is assuming that he will run, but we're not certain of that. Obviously, hasn't happened yet. Here's what he said about America's objective in Ukraine. And again, hat tip to Tucker's show for getting this information, and Tucker read this on Fox last night. Without question, peace should be the objective. The U.S. should not provide assistance that could require the deployment of American troops or enable Ukraine to engage in offensive operations beyond its borders. F-16s and long-range missiles should therefore be off the table. These moves would risk explicitly drawing the United States into the conflict and drawing us closer to a hot war between the world's two largest nuclear powers. That risk is unacceptable. I agree. That risk is unacceptable. I think that is an eloquent and well thought out position from Ron DeSantis on this one. Trump was in Iowa, and I mean he put this in. He also responded in writing, but I thought it'd be better to hear this. That Trump said, this is clip three. He is the only candidate who will make this promise that he will prevent World War III. Play it.
Standing before you today, I am the only candidate who can make this promise. I will prevent World War III, because I really believe you're going to have World War III.
He will prevent World War. Now, that's an important promise to be able to keep. That's something that really we all, you know what, we're all, I think all Democrats would even go along with that one. Certainly all sane people would go along with wanting a future Trump administration to be successful in keeping the promise of averting World War III. I think that's a big deal. We all know that. So that's a central issue. I think you're going to see this getting fought out a whole lot more in public. I also think you're going to see an increase in the kinds of technology and the personnel and everything else that the Russians and the Ukrainians are putting onto their front lines going into the spring fighting season. The Russians have reportedly had a massive call up of more, not just reservists, but conscripts. So this is going to be a fight that gets even bloodier, and it's going to go on for years. And the U.S. has to understand now and has to have the discussion now about what our objectives are. War and peace, this stuff really matters. Matters to all of us. We've gone through 20 years of the American people having our men and women in uniform deployed overseas. Trump got us to the end of it. Biden did pull the troops out of Afghanistan. And, you know, I keep saying this because I just want to make sure that we don't have four more years of Democrat. Because that's really, forget it, Biden is just the puppet. Democrat regime, Democrat apparatus running the country. He is going to point to Afghanistan as a success, and it's going to resonate with a lot of people. Not the war as a success, obviously, the withdrawal, because memories are fading about what a debacle the actual withdrawal was and who we left behind. And all people will know is when Biden says, you know, I pulled out the troops, he did. So that's going to be a useful narrative for him. The same way you're seeing Biden moderate on, he's moderating on fossil fuels. You see, he just is going to approve this project. The environmentalists are all upset about it. He's moderated on police. He's saying we need more cops and he's not defund the police. And the Biden that you and I know, as in the Democrat administration that currently exists, isn't what is going to be presented to swing voters, to independents, in Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Pennsylvania, you get it. That's not what all the ads they're going to run and all the media narrative is going to be. Oh, Joe Biden. Yeah, he's a moderate. He's a moderate. I want to get to how much of a lie that is in a moment. But I want everyone to understand that that's where this is going. That the reality of Joe, you're not running against the reality of Joe Biden, a decrepit old buffoon who spent decades doing whatever would keep him in power in Delaware as a senator, you know, as a machine politician for the Democrat Party, who was a joke to Democrats until 5 minutes ago. That's not who you ran against. Was, you know, moderate normalcy, always grinning at people and saying that he feels their pain. And yeah, you know, we're all just human beings. Let's all just hug it out. It was the whole thing was a farce. He's the president now. You're going to be running against the fiction that they're able to create with grains of truth behind it about Joe Biden. So understand that. Okay, that's one part of this. And then there's this from Donald Trump. I am a two-time Trump voter. I think that Donald Trump, two-time Trump voter, obviously, voted for him in 2016 and in 2020. think that Trump did a very good job as president. There are some areas where I wish things had been a little different, but overall, a very good job as president. And I think that he has a lot to bring to the table now, and I think he could be a very good president in his second term. I also think that he needs to have people around him who will tell him the truth. The truth about some of the positions he's taken, by the way, recently, some of the videos he's put out, some of the policy ideas, really engaging, really worthwhile stuff. Shows both the ability to learn and the ability to project a vision for the future that I think would be quite good for the country. But then there's other stuff that comes out sometimes. And I look at this and I say, what is this? What is this all about? Why is Trump taking this approach? Who is advising him? Or maybe it's just Trump himself, but he needs advisors then to tell him, this is not the way, sir. Talk about you as the leader of the party with great ideas that will raise up all Republicans and with it the entire nation. Be bigger than some of the petty stuff. This isn't 2016. You're not the guy that everyone's laughing at who has to show everybody who, you know, the real alpha dog is, right? That it's not 2016. You have been the president. There has to be a change. And I bring it up because he put out this video and I want you to hear it. And if you think I'm missing this or whatever, by all means, I want to open up the lines. Like I said, I want to encourage the best of Trump and the best of his ideas, the best of what he's got. And, you know, we are in a primary officially. And so when I see this video, I think, no, this is not MAGA. People, by the way, people say that it's funny. If I say MAGA, they say you're supposed to say MAGA. And if I say MAGA, people yell at me and say it's supposed to be MAGA. I mean, I think this is tomato, tomato, right? Anyway, here is Donald Trump praising. You'll hear for yourself. Play clip one.
For those of you that didn't notice, Florida was doing great long before Ron DeSantis got there. People are fleeing from New York to Florida and other places because of high taxes and out of control crime. It's really bad. Not because of the governor. Thank you, Mr. President, for doing that. But it's not because of the governor. Florida was doing fantastically. You had a governor named Rick Scott who did a very good job. Even Charlie Crist, a Democrat, did a good job and he had very good numbers. Sunshine and ocean are very alluring. It's not too hard to work with those factors. So just remember, Florida was doing really well long before Ron DeSantis got there.
Okay, first of all, this DeSantis nickname. Trump's nicknames used to crumble his opponents, okay? Low-energy Jeb. Jeb never recovered from his presidency, presidential campaign, never recovered from that. Little Marco, right, with Marco Rubio, that was at the time. And by the way, some people say that this stuff is unfair and it's childish, but I'm just saying at the time, these things worked. Say what you will about them. They worked. DeSantis? I don't think so. I guess it's sanctimony is what we're kind of going for here. It's not clever enough. It's not worthy of Trumpian nickname. It's just not going to work. So I'm here to just be honest with all of you about what I see happening here in this primary. Look, it's still super early. DeSantis isn't even in the primary. So why is he attacking a popular Republican governor? And then on the issue of what's happened in Florida, if all of you knew, the number of people in conservative media who have moved to Florida in the last 3 years is mind-blowing. There's been nothing like this ever before in my lifetime in this country. So many of your favorite hosts, commentators, TV, radio, podcasts, you name it, have moved to Florida and either doing partially, you know, 6 months of the year or something like that, or here year round. And it's because this has become a symbol of something. Something is happening in this state that the right and conservatism is seizing on. There's a momentum here. And you see this from the 800,000 people who have, I'm in Florida right now. You see this from the 800,000 people who have moved to Florida since the beginning of the pandemic. You see this from the lowest crime rate the state has had in 50 years. It's always had great weather. It's always had, in recent memory, at least, low or no state taxes on income. So that's not going to cut it. And it was the best state to be in during COVID. I know because I was a New Yorker who had come down to Florida during COVID to experience normalcy. When other states and other places, I remember, I mean, Texas, I was very disappointed in Texas during the pandemic. I love the state of Texas. I've thought about moving there to live many times in my life. But during the pandemic, Abbott was not very good. He got better. He got wise on COVID and lockdowns, but it took him a while. Florida was the best state during the pandemic. We have to be honest here about what happened, where we had our victories, where we had our losses. And when you have not a single statewide elected Republican in Florida for the first time since the Civil War, that's different. That's not a normal thing. Praising Charlie Crist. First of all, he was a Republican when he ran the state, which is hilarious because Charlie Crist has literally been a Republican, a Democrat, and an independent. But this is not the way. This is not the way for Trump. I want more of the ideas. I want more of the leader. I want the narrative. You know, there's a time and a place for the brawling and the fighting. But for me, it just didn't work. If you think I'm wrong, by all means, let me know. If there are some Trump voters out there, and I mean, obviously, a lot of Trump voters. I mean, people for whom Trump is the only option to take on Biden. If you like this or didn't like this ad, let me know. I'm very curious. 800-282-2882. We'll get into some of that later on in the hour. So I think that's very, it's going to be a heck of a primary, folks. It's going to be a heck of a fight. I think that much is clear. You know, $900 is a lot of money. I don't care what part of life you're in. I mean, that's just a lot of money. Our friends at Pure Talk are helping families save when they switch to their cell phone service. You're still getting the same ultra-fast 5G service as you would with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, but instead of forking over about $100 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $30 a month on an individual plan. And Pure Talk is so sure you're going to love their service, they're backing it up with a 100% money-back guarantee. So instead of paying a fortune to a big carrier, cut your bill in half with Pure Talk. That's my cell phone carrier. It's what I use every day. They make it super convenient for you, too. You can make the switch without having to change your phone or your number. Just dial #250, say Clay and Buck to save 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Clay and Buck. Pure Talk is simply smarter wireless. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He's Buck Sexton. He's Clay Travis. Together, they're breathing sanity into an insane world.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. We got David McCormick, former CEO of Bridgewater, the huge hedge fund, a candidate for U.S. Senate, a combat veteran. He'll be up with us in a few minutes. Great time to talk to him because of all the stuff going on with the banks and the economy. Corey in Arab, Alabama. I didn't know that was a place. Good to meet you, Corey. What's going on?
Hey, I'm a two-time Trump voter, big Trump supporter. But I really feel like Florida as a state, we have to win to get the presidency back. And if Trump keeps bashing DeSantis, I feel like we're going to lose Florida. And it just breaks my heart, man.
Look, me too. Thank you for calling in, my friend. I voted for Trump twice. I'm a big Trump supporter in general, but I'm just trying to be honest about where I think he's going. Diane from Virginia, what have you got for us? Diana.
Just can't support him the way he is now. I voted for him twice. Just cannot believe his anger and resentment and so many things that have really are destructive to this country. He needs to be taken on the current president, the current Democratic left-leaning left-wingers in this country.
Look, thank you. Yeah, I agree. I mean, he should be saving his fight and fury for the other side. I totally agree. And I just say, you know, President Trump should sit down. He should sit down with me, sit down with Clay, and just be like, guys, tell me honestly what's going on here. Because I think the advisors around him not serving him well right now. Not serving him well. It's been nearly 20 years since Mike Lindell invented the original MyPillow. At that time, it had everything you wanted in a pillow. But two decades later, Mike has had a technological breakthrough, the 2.0 version of the MyPillow. MyPillow 2.0 has the same patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, but now includes exclusive fabric that is made with temperature-regulating thread. Keeps your pillow cool every night, making you sleep that much more comfortably. They've got a great deal right now, too. Buy one, get one free for a limited time when you use our names as the promo code Clay and Buck. The MyPillow 2.0 is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Experience this new temperature-regulating technology for yourself. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special square, get this buy one, get one free offer on the MyPillow 2.0. Enter promo code Clay and Buck to get your MyPillow 2.0 now or call 800-792-3269. Welcome back to Clay and Buck. We have David McCormick with us now. He is the former CEO of the hedge fund, Bridgewater, candidate for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania in the last election cycle, a combat veteran, West Point graduate, author of a new book that is out now, Superpower in Peril, A Battle Plan to Renew America. David, good to have you back on the program.
Hey, Buck, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So we got a couple things, big things to get into here. First of all, breaking news just in the last couple of minutes. A Russian jet has collided with a U.S. drone over the Black Sea in international airspace. I want to get into all the banking stuff. You ran Bridgewater, one of the biggest hedge funds in the world. You know the banking stuff very well. But first, tapping into your combat veteran side, you went to West Point. You have served in different government national security related roles. How concerned are you about the trajectory right now in Ukraine?
Well, I'm very concerned about it in the sense that, Putin is an aggressor here. He has challenged the sovereignty of Ukraine. And I think we are in the right position to be supporting the Ukrainians because I think it's in U.S. interest. But we got to do that with a lot of care. And we got make sure the things that we're sending there aren't being corrupted and used in ways that's inconsistent with the mission. And we got to be careful. And incidents like you describe are the things that are unexpected. We got to be careful that U.S. troops don't in any way get drawn in. So I'm among those who think what's happening in Ukraine is an important U.S. interest. I think China is watching carefully. But I also understand those who are skeptical, and we have to be careful not to get drawn into something bigger.
Now, on to the financial side of things. There's a lot of messes to clean up right now in a bunch of different areas of the world. Yeah. So tell us. I mean, first of all, is the bailout, the backstopping, whatever it is this the right thing to do? How do you see things as they are right now before we get into where the financial and sector and economic sector are going? But what do you think about what they've done up to this point?
Well, I think you got to start, and I'll be very brief, but you got to look at how we got here because it answers part of your question. So we are here because of excess over the last 10 years in terms of too much fiscal spending, but extreme excess in the last 2 years under Joe Biden. Enormous amount of spending, 40% increase in discretionary spending. We're at an all-time high in our debt of $31 trillion, and that excessive spending has been matched with extremely low interest rates for more than a decade. And as a consequence of that, We have inflation, and that inflation is something we got to control. And so the Fed, ironically, in trying to help stop the problem it created, raised interest rates quickly. And now we've got a gap between the assets and the liabilities. And that is across the whole banking sector. It's not just across SVB. And that's the macro problem. Now, second, SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, was a terribly managed bank. Terrible risk management. It's appropriate that the whole leadership team got fired. But the regulators made a big mistake here. The San Francisco Federal Reserve should have known this. It's obvious what was going to happen when interest rates rise, that the balance sheets on the banks are going to be underwater. They're going to have to sell assets. And because these assets were so the deposits were so concentrated, it's created a real problem, not just for Silicon Valley Bank, but for others. Now, in terms of what the government has done, I think it's appropriate the equity holders lose their money. I think it's appropriate that the credit holders lose their money. I'm very concerned about the bailout of these uninsured deposits. And I'm concerned for two reasons. First, you know, the guy who had the landscaping business that landscaped Silicon Valley Bank, and the company owed him $10,000, he lost that $10,000. But the rich Silicon Valley venture capitalist got 100% on their dollar. And that seems wrong. That seems inappropriate. Second, we got a moral hazard. We got a moral hazard problem where there's $8 trillion of uninsured bank deposits. And so did we now just set a precedent where we're going to bail out $8 trillion of uninsured bank deposits if we need to? I don't think so. So we're setting a dangerous precedent, and that for that reason, I would oppose it, oppose a bailout of any kind.
We're speaking to David McCormick. He's a former combat veteran, ran for Senate in Pennsylvania in a tough primary there against Dr. Oz, and also is the author of a new book that is out, Superpower in Peril, A Battle Plan to Renew America. All right, David, where is this all going? I mean, Credit Suisse, back to the financial thing, because people are worried about their money, I think rightfully so. They're worried about their savings, and they're worried about their jobs. So what happens now? I mean, Credit Suisse, they're saying, has, I think, that, you know, systemic issues or something. There was some term that they used to say it's not looking good over there. And there are some other banks, I'm sure, that also have similar problems, maybe not as badly as SVB. But do you feel like this is the beginning of a real plunge, or is this something that if we handle appropriately or is handled appropriately, we're not heading into a major recession?
Well, one of the things I've learned along the years is to just have humility about the ability to predict anything here. I would say that a couple things in response to your question. The biggest important thing in banking is to have confidence in the banking system. The deposits that old people put in the banks are not available to take out because they lend those. So there's a fraction of the deposits available. So people have to have confidence. And the government's tried to take steps to put confidence in place. We'll see how much it works. The underlying problem that I described, where people have bought assets and had long duration assets and now they're worth a lot less, is a big problem. And the inflation that we have in our economy is likely going to lead the Fed to raise rates to the point where we go into a recession. And that is going to be very challenging for our economy. And it's part of the broader thing I try to address in my book about superpower and peril. I think this is just evidence of a decline. America's in decline economically, from a national security perspective, spiritually. And decline is not inevitable, but neither is renewal. It depends on what we do. And so my book, Superpower and Peril, lays out the plan for educating our people, for confronting China, and for securing America. And part of that is to get our fiscal house in order and to get back to more normal policy. We've lived in excess for a long time, and whenever there's excess, there creates all sorts of distortions in the markets, and that's what we're dealing with right now.
Is there any way you think realistically that the Fed will be able to navigate these interest rate raises without plunging us into what even the Biden administration will have to admit is a recession?
Yeah, listen, I think it's going to be very difficult. And, you know, if you go back, and I just read recently the book about Paul Volcker during his time there, and what happens with inflation is there's, you know, if you take the pedal off too quickly and lower rates too quickly, inflation comes back. And so you've got to break the back of inflation, both with your movements, with your moves in interest rates, but also with your rhetoric and signaling. And I think it's going to be very difficult not to be very tough-minded on inflation, because the inflation has an insidious impact on our economy and is very challenging for politically. So I think we're likely to go into recession. I think it's likely going to be a tough period. And that's why I think a renewal agenda is really important. There's lots of problems in the country just beyond the economic ones you and I are talking about. And so my argument in the book is that we need leadership as conservatives that's going to put great candidates forward that can win primaries and win general elections, is going to put a positive agenda forward for how to solve these problems, and is going to do the work to get absentee ballots and voter registration so we can win elections and take the country in the right direction. And this book is meant to be a blueprint for how to do that.
A Battle Plan to Renew America, Superpower in Peril is the book. Before we let you go, David, you thinking about running for president? Because this book looks like the kind of book somebody might write if they were running for president.
Well, first, I started writing the book before I ran for the Senate. At this point, now that the book's done, my wife is telling me I got to get a job of some sort, Buck. So I don't think she's very open-minded about that. But I have been thinking about running for the Senate in Pennsylvania. I've not decided yet. There's 24 Senator Casey's seat will be open for election, and so we'll think about that and pray about it and make a decision later this year, I suspect.
Gotcha. So maybe running for something. Fair enough. David McCormick, everybody. Thanks. Superpower in Peril. David, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Buck. Nice to talk to you.
You know, we're big fans of the herbal supplement company Chalk. The product speaks for itself, but the ownership is really impressive too. Simply put, this Texas-based company wants to make everyone they know healthier. During the pandemic, while people were eating more, drinking more, a lot of unhealthy takeout stuff, the gyms were closed, Chalk was advocating for healthier lifestyles. Chalk sourced the right ingredients to create a variety of products to help the immune system, energy, focus, inflammation, and even mood of the people who take it. Chalk doesn't want you reaching for more caffeine or energy drinks loaded with sugars. Instead, they want you to get sustained energy and clarity in a more natural way through their supplements. They also offer bundles. Chalk's male vitality stack helps with replenishing testosterone, and Chalk's female vitality stack improves hormone health. To learn more about what Chalk can do for you, check out their website at chalk.com. Use my name, Buck, B-U-C-K, and you'll save 35% off any Chalk subscription for the life of that subscription. You can cancel at any time. Clay and I are big fans of Chalk. We love this company. It's spelled C-H-O-Q. Once you get to know their products, you're going to love them as well. Chalk, that's chok.com. Go online, subscribe to their everyday regimen, and get to your optimum health.
Learn, laugh, and join us on the weekend on our Sunday Hang with Clay and Buck podcast. Find it on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
800-282-2882 if you want to chat with us here on the Clay and Buck Show. Or I guess chat with me, because today I'm solo. Clay is out, and he is just on a great vacation in Italy. He'll be back on Monday. We have some calls in here. Randy in Nebraska. You are a Democrat who may go right. Well, Randy, you're in the right place. How do we convince you to come on into the light?
Well, Buck, quit calling me a communist and all those nasty things.
But maybe you're not a commie. Maybe you're one of the old school Democrats that actually was open to reason and sanity. You know what I mean? Well, so there's a whole range, sir.
I feel alienated by my party. I'm a Christian. I'm pro Second Amendment. I'm pro law enforcement. I'm pro military. But
sounds like you're a Republican. I don't know what is there left to figure out here, sir. Keep going.
I'm also pro-labor and a few other, and I'm pro-public schools. So there are some issues there, and I am pro-choice, but that doesn't mean I'm pro-abortion. You know, you guys, the Republicans, you're always saying, we got to get the independents to vote for us. Yeah, I think you can get the independents to vote for you, especially the way my party's been going. But open the door. There are those of us Democrats. Open the door. You know, the guy that comes on the air following this show on my station.
Oh, nope. Are you saying he opens the door and is good about this, or?
Well, no, I just want to say he's kind of like, did you ever see the movie Boogie Nights?
No. We're not. I don't know who it is, but I don't want to. Thank you, Randy, for calling in. I don't want anyone talking about any of the other shows that may be coming on after or before this, because they're not here to respond one way or the other. And, I mean, if it's any of my syndicated brethren on Premiere, they're amazing talents and great guys. Charlie in Miami. Charlie, what have you got?
Neighbor, welcome to Miami.
Thank you, sir. I love Miami. It's fantastic.
Hey, definitely. Born and raised here and love it myself. Love DeSantis. Love Trump. I'm at the point now where Trump, we got to let Trump be Trump. And, you know, niceties and trying to get along, that doesn't work anymore. And Trump, when he does this preemptive fire against DeSantis, because Trump's already said his number one foe, even though he hasn't put his hat in the ring, will be DeSantis. So he's doing a little friendly fire. He's trying to see if he can keep him out of the primary. That's all he's doing.
And but now, so you're a flirt. So this is interesting to me, because I actually wanted somebody who was a Trump person who voted for him and is still planning to vote for Trump in the primary, kind of no matter, I mean, assuming no matter what, right?
No, most out of it. I have a Trump sticker still in my car.
Right. No, I get you. So I wanted someone of your position to call in. But what I'm wondering is, you're also a Floridian. So yeah. When Trump says that DeSantis hasn't done great stuff in Florida, you're a Floridian. You're a Miamian. I mean, doesn't it sound like he's just kind of blowing smoke? I mean, you can't think that's true.
No, obviously not. I mean, DeSantis has done a great job. But Rick
right, so 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 it sounds like you agree with me that, you know, Trump, I'm not saying Trump can't criticize DeSantis at all. I'm saying let these guys play it out in the primary. I'm just saying the criticism that DeSantis hasn't done a good job as a Republican governor of Florida, I mean, to me, this is like saying, you know, the number one guy in the PGA Tour, I don't even know who it is, can't, you know, drive a golf ball well. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't, that's just not where you attack.
Again, I take it as friendly fire. I take it as he's just trying to take DeSantis off the board now than later. Because if DeSantis is off the board, who else is left? Nobody. And that's the reality. So once he clears DeSantis, then he can start focusing on J.A. Joe and go that route. And he just said when he was in Iowa, he's already laid down some of his platform. You know, he's going to prevent World War III. He's going to go against China. He's going to, you know, he's Russia. He's going to get back in control. And
so you're Trump all the way. And I wanted to hear from somebody who feels that way at this point. And you do love Florida though too, which is great, because I also think Florida's
a fantastic
state. Oh, I've
been here 60 plus years. It's man, you're raised in yeah.
Original Floridian. Yeah. Thank you for calling. My wife is an original Floridian, by the way, which is always helpful. She's from the Orlando area. Rick in Wisconsin. What do you got for us, Rick?
Hello. How are you doing today, sir?
We're great. All across America, we're fantastic. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to weigh in on this Trump issue. I don't think he should be attacking DeSantis. We're all on the same team here. And here in Wisconsin, we just had an election not long ago, and we had two very strong Republican candidates who completely destroyed each other in the primary. And that made it very, very easy for our Democratic governor to re-win the election. And I don't understand why we're attacking each other and making it easy for the Democrats.
You know, Rick, I think that there's criticizing and then there's trying to destroy, right? And there's a fine line. I get that. They're going to fight. Thank you for calling in, Rick, by the way. They're going to fight. They're going to argue. They're going to have attacks against each other on different positions. But as long as it's on the policy and doesn't turn into this person, I'll tell you, you know, people would say, oh, well, Kamala called Joe Biden, you know, racist on stage. Yeah, but Democrats call everybody racist, right? So while that seemed at the time like, oh my gosh, that's unforgivable, Democrats call everybody racist. So they could just say, you know, you're not really racist. We call everybody racist, right? That's what Democrats do. I don't see Democrats usually trying to destroy each other in a primary. I think sometimes that does happen with Republicans. Maybe that's just my perception. We want to avoid that. We want a good, you know, it's like they say in a boxing match at the beginning, the ref, right? We want a good, clean fight. We want a good, clean primary. It doesn't mean there's not going to be shots thrown. It just means nothing, you know, no punches below the belt, no kidney punches or whatever. You know, I don't know the boxing rules that well. This is where I need Clay. Clay, where are you? I need boxing rule help, but. Anyway, next hour we'll be talking about the police situation in New York City. They're getting a lot of cops that are leaving the NYPD, and they can't backfill them fast enough, so that's going to be a big problem for them. Also, Joe Biden speaking to somebody on The Daily Show about transgender surgery for kids. The moderate Joe Biden, that's what they say, right? He's a moderate. You got to hear what the current Democrat president, who's supposed to be such a down-the-middle guy, thinks about transgender surgery for kids. Stick around.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.